God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, we come to you in Yeshua's name. And we ask you, Lord God, that you would speak to us tonight. Lord God, let us hear from you. Oh God, we ask you, Father, there's such a lack of knowledge of your word, and your prophet said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And Lord God, there you said there would be a famine in the land, not of food or drink, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And that's true, Lord, all over the world. And we pray in the name of Messiah, Father God, that you would feed our hunger, feed our thirst for you. Oh God, in the name of Yeshua, put your words into my mouth and cause us to have open ears and minds and hearts to be receptive to what you have to say to us, so that your words are heard above my words and your voice above my voice. We pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, this evening we're going to look at fourth chapter, the closing chapter of Philippians. We'll get started. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, there's a real passion that Paul had for these people. Rabbi Paul didn't just see them as congregants. They were not just numbers. He became connected with them, that there was a bond that he established with them where he loved them. Now, earlier in this chapter, he talked about how he was thinking about them and yearning for them, yearning to see them while he was in the dungeon. And someone might say, well, of course, because that would mean he'd be out of prison if he saw them. But he could have said that about anybody. But, and I'm sure he felt that way about all the places, the people that he had worked with, that he had come to know through his service through the years. But he established a bond with these folks. He wasn't just exploiting them. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Paul operated his own business. He was a tent maker, and so he didn't want to be a burden to anybody. So he became he maintained his business. He could do that job anywhere, and so that's what he was, and that's what he did. And so he says, "I long for you. You're my joy and my crown." I called a young lady who was at our Passover Seder. She's been trying to start up a business, so I've been calling her and praying for her. And she said, after that first call in prayer, God started giving her new ideas, and so the business is really starting to roll now. And you know, you could just hear the thrill in her voice. And I said, you've made my day, you know. And I actually got excited, because there is a bond that God gives joy. God gives joy when there's a relationship that is is being fed by the Spirit of God. He gives a joy where you're just thrilled to see everybody else blessed. You know, it's so enjoyable when people testify about something exciting that happened in his life or her life. And so that's what Rabbi Paul is talking about. You're my joy, you're my crown. The very fact your lives, the fruit that is being produced through you, is the ultimate crown of my accomplishments. You are my chief accomplishment. I serve the Lord in the means that God gave me to serve him, is to go out and plant seeds in the lives of people and to nurture those seeds and see people prosper and grow. We had a men's meeting. We've had a couple of them now where we've been teaching men, our men, how to hear from God, and at that last meeting, guys, you know, we were saying, guys, God wants guys to hear from the Lord, to learn the voice of the Lord, instead of depending on their wives or their moms to do that. Men traditionally have thought of themselves as the breadwinners and being logical. Sometimes the result is we check our souls at the door when we go home, and God wants us to hear from Him, because we're the ones, the men are the ones who are supposed to lead the congregation, to lead their family, at least in a partnership with their wives. Instead of putting all that strain and all that responsibility on the wives. And so it was so exciting for me to see the men starting to hear from God and say, I think we need to pray over this person. And they were standing there in very manly ways, and they were laying hands on each other and praying for each other. And it was very exciting for me to see that. And we're going to continue to do that. I'm looking for that to continue to develop. But he says, my joy and my crown. I get my nachas, the Yiddish word nachas. There are some experiences in life where the Yiddish word is the best word. You know, oy is one. It's very, very, very simple. Nachas is a great one. It is like this joy, this pleasure you get from the depths of your soul. You know, my parents, when I would do something, they would say, you gave me nachas. And my grandparents would say that. It's just a great Yiddish expression. And so Paul said, I get my nachas from you guys, from seeing you grow in the Lord, from seeing you mature, seeing you be able to stand on your own two feet, to hear from God, to know that when my time is gone, when I'm away from you, or when he says, who knows how I'm going to end up? I don't really know for sure what's going to happen, what my fate will be here with the government of Rome. But he said, if anything happens to me, I see you growing to the point where you will carry on. And he goes on and says, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my loved ones. And then he talks to two women. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to be in harmony in the Lord. Now we don't know the details of what they squabbled about, but apparently they had some kind of a brouhaha going, and so he says, look, he says you need to work it out, whatever it is. You need to find a way to work it out. Be in harmony in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, true companion, to help these women. They labored side by side with me in spreading the good news, together with Clement, who also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. In other words, he implies that someday your names are in the book of life. You're going to spend eternity together. You may as well start to get along now. You're going to spend eternity in the same place. So better learn to get along now. Whatever it is small potatoes. Whatever this conflict is, it is amazing. I remember when I was in seminary, I had a faculty advisor who taught practical theology, which was administrative stuff. He had a lot of pastoral experience, and he he told this story about a pastor who went to a new church. There was a lady who played the piano for years. Well, the pastor's wife liked to play the piano, and she started to play, and so the lady who used to play got all offended, and people took sides about who was playing the piano, and it was a big brouhaha, and then he to try to resolve it hired a pianist from outside. And then the congregation split anyway because everybody was offended at that pianist. So, you know, there are just some people who just choose to be offended. And the fact is, they're minor things. They're minor things that could be resolved. And so he's saying, don't get bent out of shape about these minor things. Keep in mind the ultimate thing, that we serve the Lord. We serve God, and we want to please Him, and we're going to spend eternity together. Our names are in the Book of Life. So then he goes and he says, kairete. This is our biblical word of the week. Kairete, kairete. It's like a guttural. Kairete. Chayrete, the chi is a guttural, kind of between a chet and a kaf sufit in Hebrew. It's chay, said from the back of the throat. Chayrete, chayrete, rejoice, rejoice. It is so important, this theme. Let's all say it. Chayrete, 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 rejoice, rejoice, chayrete. And so he says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord. That's where our ultimate joy is. You know, that doesn't mean that you don't enjoy a celebration over a job, a raise in pay, or a promotion at work. It does not mean you don't rejoice over a young child and a new baby. It does not mean when somebody's cured from a disease that they shouldn't rejoice. But the ultimate celebration is the Lord, because all those other things eventually are going to pass away. All those other things are going to come to an end someday. But the one constant is eternal life. And I remember I've shared this a bunch of times. I don't want to bore anybody. But when I was in the hospital in January, the stay in the hospital kept being extended, and they had trouble stopping the bleeding. It ended up bleeding for 31 days. Not to gross anybody out. But I began to think, Lord God, is it possible that this is going to be the end for me? You hear, what if I don't leave this hospital? You know, Lord, you hear about people my age passing away, and you know, the average life expectancy for a man in the United States is not much older than I am. And the Lord said, the presence of the Lord came over me, and he said, I don't have any plans for that for you now, but if that were to happen, I've got you. Your relationship with my son, it means that whenever you die, you're with me, I've got you. And I've had such a sense of the reality of everlasting life that it's just like right next to me, you know, that Yeshua is right there, that God is right there, heaven is right there, eternity is right there. And so rejoicing in the Lord always, again I say it, kairate, let your gentleness be known to all people. And, you know, sadly, there are a lot of believers just get so angry, and we're angry at our culture. And there's one thing about getting involved in politics demonstrating for life and so on. But sometimes we get so angry as believers. We just get so angry. And I remember there was a pastor. Sadly, he passed away in 2020 in the midst of the COVID epidemic, from COVID. But he was an African American. What a stellar gentleman. And he would tell us stories about some of the things he had to deal with growing up as an African American man in the South and even in the North, in the Army. And I urged him to write a book, because he could tell these stories with no anger. Nobody could blame him. No one could blame Claude if he were angry. But he was able to tell the story without the anger, because when he tells the story, if he were to tell the story with anger, all anybody would see is, what an angry man. But when he tells his stories the way he did, you say, what a fine man. Nobody should have to go through this kind of thing. Our anger defeats our purpose. We're not persuasive when we're just angry. We lose the context to be able to persuade anybody who doesn't share our view. Anger doesn't do a thing. And so he says, let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is near. The Lord is close. Now, there are two ways to understand that. One is that the Lord's return is close. I'm not so sure. I mean, Paul does talk. As a matter of fact, the next book that we're going to study is going to be talking about that kind of thing. It's going to be talking about the return of Messiah and so on, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But I think he means the presence of the Lord is close. And if you really pay attention to the fact that the Lord sees that he's not just up there lost in space somewhere, that he's very close, he's paying close attention. And do you think that's the kind of attitude that he wants to see from us? Just angry and raging. There are times, you know, I'll tell you, I watch the news, I hear some of the stuff that goes on, and I start to get angry, and then I start to think, I think I need to turn off the news, because after a while these news channels repeat the same stories. Maybe the names change, but it's the same stuff. And so, you know, I just say, well, I've seen what's going on, now it's time to go pray about it, you know, or just back off, get away from it. So he says, the Lord is near, the Lord is close, and the Lord's available to help us. So do not be anxious about anything. You say, that's easy for us to say. That's easy for him to say. Well, the fact is, I mean, here he is in a prison, and they could feed him to the lions, or take off his head anytime. You know, they could crucify him. His life was hanging by a thread. And he says, be anxious for nothing. And I think back, he had experienced it. If you read Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in a dungeon in the same city where the people live who are the audience for this letter. And he's in a dungeon, and they had been beaten, and they were in stocks and chains, and they were sore and miserable. And it says they were singing praises to the Lord, and the other prisoners heard them. They were singing at the top of their lungs praises to God. You know, they were probably singing Avinu, Avinu, Avinu Malkeinu, and Ein Keloheinu, similar kinds of things, praising God. And the Lord broke them out of jail. They found a way to rejoice, and God responded. He said, in everything. I want you to watch, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, King James says supplication, it's the same word, same idea, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Four different words for prayer. In other words, what he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and prayer with prayer, let your prayers be made known to God. You understand what he's saying? His prayer is the answer to everything. Go to God. And he says, and he's talking not just about asking God for things, because in the context, prayer is, even though the word prayer means to petition, and that's the Greek word, it means spending time with God. The biblical context for that is spending time in the presence of God, speaking to Him, but allowing Him to speak to us. You know what? I found it's a great, great thing when I'm praying. I will often just get quiet and say, Lord God, is there anything you want to tell me? Maybe, Lord God, you want to tell me something about a particular way to pray about this need. Or, Lord God, maybe you want to redirect my agenda. Because you're the boss, Lord. You're the Lord. You are the King. You're God. And so you set the agenda for my life. And so you have the right and the freedom to rearrange my priorities. And he says that it is the antidote to anxiety. He says that the presence of God, pray with thanksgiving and then pray. and the shalom of God, listen to this, and the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. There are people who have no peace. They have no peace, no security with the Lord. It's not like it's from the Lord, because if they've received Him, the Lord says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God always does what He says He will do. But there are people who deny themselves the sense of peace and security that they could have by worrying and not by following God's prescription for addressing anxiety. It is focusing on what God's word says and spending time in the presence of God. It is the antidote. It is the antidote. So many times I'd be all anxious and I'd get quiet and I'd focus on the Lord, and then the Lord would bring some kind of deliverance to me. He'd bring some kind of answer. And that's what the Lord says. He says, and the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding. You know, our understanding is restricted. It's limited to what we can see and feel. But God's word goes beyond our understanding. And so he says, the peace of God. There are people who say, why in the world do I feel peace when it seems like everything's falling apart? Because I know the Lord's on the job. Habakkuk chapter 3, though the fig tree not blossom, this is verse 16, 17, so on. though the fig tree not blossom, and there be no grapes on the vine, though the olive tree cast its fruit, though there be no sheep in the fold, or ox in the stall, yet it will exult in the Lord, who makes my feet like hinds' feet, and my tread on my high places. You look at the bank account, or you look at what happened to all my cattle and sheep, and so what? That panic. But then he says, somehow I've got peace because I know the Lord equips my feet like hinds' feet. Hinds' feet, he's talking about these mountain deer. And I saw them at En Gedi in Israel. En Gedi has all these rough rocks. People can't climb on those rocks. We just don't have the right feet. It was very, very difficult and dangerous to climb them. They're loose, and so they have paths for people to climb up the seven springs and falls of En Gedi. But as I was climbing up there, I heard footsteps, and I looked, and these ibex, these mountain deer, were just flying over the rocks. I couldn't believe it, because they have the right kind of feet. And so that's what the prophet is describing. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, that I might tread on my high places. Now, if the economy goes belly up, that does not inhibit at all God's ability to care for his own people. And so he says that's why the Lord says his shalom will guard our hearts and our minds through Yeshua, the Messiah Yeshua. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Focus on the Lord. That describes the Lord. Focus on his word. That doesn't mean you ignore the realities of your job. That does not mean you don't pay your bills or anything like that. It does not mean you don't hold down a job. But he says that we trust in the Lord. My dad was a record-setting salesman. And so he would be asked to speak to these sales conventions, and so all the other salesmen in the company would sit on the edge of their seats. We're going to get the secrets here. And he would stand up and say, the Lord leads me. He says, and I try to say, how do I treat these people like God would treat them? And there were times when he saw they had problems that were beyond their need for windows and doors. He'd say, look, something more important is here. So he'd go out to the car and get his Bible, and he would pray with them, and he would have a Bible study with them, and he would lead them to Messiah. And those people tended to refer. They knew they could trust him because he took the attitude of the Lord. And so Dad would tell these other salesmen, because I let the Lord lead me. I trust him, and so he's prospered me all these years. And he said for all these years, like the last 15 years or so, he never had to knock on a door. He lived off referrals that the Lord brought him from treating people in a godly way. And so it works. And so he says, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. There are people who instantly think about they think the worst thing is going to happen. Oh, something, this is the worst thing. They always look for the worst thing, for the dark cloud in everything. And they reap what they sow. They reap what they sow. And so focus on the Lord. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, put these things into practice, and the God of Shalom will be with you. That's the main factor, the God of Shalom being with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me, though you were concerned before but lacked opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for whatever circumstance I am in, I've learned to be content. I know what it is to live with humble means, and I know what it is to live in prosperity. He said, I've seen it all. He said, there have been times when I didn't know where the next meal would come from, and God provided for me. And he said, I know what it is to live in abundance. And he said that I learned not to be proud of that, but to be thankful and to share. He said, in any and every circumstance, I've learned that secret of contentment, both to be filled and to go hungry, to have abundance and to suffer need. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. He says, with the Lord in my land, in my life, I can do anything. I can overcome any obstacle. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. There are times when I claim that when I'm exercising and I'm trying to get through the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, starting to get run down a little bit. And I'll say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do this through the strength of the Lord. Nevertheless, you have done well to share in my trouble. Now you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the good news, when I left Macedonia, not a single community partnered with me in giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent something for my need more than once. Not that I am looking for a gift, but for the fruit that overflows to your credit. He says, I wasn't so thrilled with the gift as it was the character that you showed. And he says, but I've received everything and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. My God will fulfill every need. This verse is so important, and I have a friend, he's passed away now, but a friend, a Jewish believer who was leading a youth work out west, Oregon, I think it was, and he said that the president of his board, who was a very wealthy man, stopped by and said, I want you to take a walk with me. And so they walked down to this men's store, and they walked into the men's store. And he said, I want you to give this, to fit this young man with the best coat you have in the store. And DeVerne was embarrassed, and he said, I don't need the best. He was embarrassed. He said, any coat is good enough for me. He said, but that's not good enough for me. And so he bought the best, most expensive coat in the store. And then on the way back, as they walked back to his office, he said the Lord spoke to him, and all these years he had been claiming this verse, my God shall supply all your need. But he had ignored the significance of the last phrase, according to the riches of his glory in Messiah Yeshua. God not only meets the needs of his children, he loves to do it richly. He goes over and above. He goes over and above. Every Passover, there is a wonderful song that is sung, Dayenu, and we play all kinds of, I like to play games with it and add things to it. But the gist of it is that, and Dayenu means we are thankful, but the gist of the song if only, you know, God, you brought us out of Egypt, and if you'd only done that, that would have been enough. But instead, you brought us through the Red Sea, you parted the Red Sea, and that would have been enough. But you gave us the Torah on Mount Sinai, and that would have been enough. But you brought us through the desert, giving us manna and water from the rock. That would have been enough, but he keeps doing more and more and more because that's the way God is. He's generous. Isaiah 9, we often quote verse 5, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is gifted, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Pele Yoetz El Gibor Aviad Sar Shalom, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the next verse is really potent too. He says, of the increase of the government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from henceforth, even forever. The increase of his government. That means God keeps giving more and more and more. He keeps giving more and more and more. That's the heart of God. According to the riches of his glory in Messiah Yeshua, to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then he says, he closes, greet all the Kedoshim in Messiah Yeshua, the brethren who are with me greet you. All the Kedoshim greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. This sneaky guy, he's in the prison, and he's leading people in Caesar's household to Yeshua. You know, you could call it subversion, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, can subvert the biggest government. My friend Doug was leading over 30 tours to China, where they would take Bibles in. They would put a layer of clothes in their suitcases over. They would pack those suitcases with all the Chinese Bibles that they could carry. They'd go in. Sometimes they'd get caught, you know, but they'd always get the Bibles back when they left, and then they'd come back with another trip. There was this one time he got stopped. They discovered the Bible, and so an official asked, who's the leader of this group? And so Doug's there, I guess that's me. So he says the director wants to talk to you in his office. And so he'd go in there, and he said, the director said, you know what, just between you and me, he said, I don't know, I've read this Bible. He says, I don't see anything seditious here, and I don't know why our government has such a problem with it. Take half the Bibles, and then of course they got the rest of them back when they left the country, and they brought them back in on another trip. There have been times when it turns out the officials had become believers, and so they would let them have all the Bibles. That God has a way of getting here. Caesar's household. He's under arrest by Caesar, and people in Caesar's household had come to know the Messiah. And he said, especially those of Caesar's household, and the grace of Adonai Yeshua, Hanan, the grace of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, be with your spirit. Grace, that was the standard Greek greeting. Shalom is the Jewish one, and grace and peace are the Greek ones. Grace, and then peace is the Jewish one. And it's just so amazing, you know, the grace of God. There are people who think there is a conflict between law and grace. And there are people who say, well, they say, Well, the New Testament is full of grace, but the Old Testament, that's just law and anger. Well, if you read the Torah, for instance, it's full of grace. That God gave us the Torah by His grace. It is full of mercy. He gives us the commandments, but He knows up front that we have already broken them, and He knew we would continue to break them, and so He built in the system of atonement so that we could know that God had provided for forgiveness for those sins. The Torah is so full of grace that because God's not schizophrenic. He's just and gracious all the way through the Bible. And so he starts it in the beginning, and he continues all the way through the end, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As God said through the Italian prophet Malachi, he said, I, the Lord, change not. Therefore you, O house of Israel, are not consumed. And so, just good news. And so he closes, the grace of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the mercy, the kindness of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, be with your spirit. Well, we've come to the end of the book, and we'll stop and take questions. Anybody with a question? Okay. All right. Well, then let's close with prayer then. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, thank you for your word, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, that you will help us to remember it, O God, and to focus on your word, Lord, when there's a stimulus to panic, a stimulus to anxiety. And we all have them. And we're all human, Lord God. I have my anxieties too, and I have the same challenge, you know, Lord God, as Luke 18 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord God, we pray in the name of Messiah, Father, that you will help us to focus on your word and your presence. And Lord God, and when we follow through with that, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and our minds through Yeshua HaMashiach Adonainu. Lord God, just ask you to give us a good night. Lord God, we ask you, Father, to speak into our dreams. We pray even so, come quickly, Adonai Yeshua. And Lord God, strengthen us, refresh us. And Lord, I bless each one. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha shalom. And for the ladies, because Mother's Day is next Sunday, so Yevarechech Adonai v'yishmarech. Ya'er Adonai panav alech v'chonech. Yisa Adonai panav alech v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep and guard you. May the Lord make his face, his presence, to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face, his presence upon you, and grant you shalom. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince, the Administrator of Well-Being. Amen.